Okay, so we're looking at a very important passage here. In fact, why don't we just kind of read the whole thing? Second Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now, for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. While this passage includes a lot, it talks about how peace and grace can be multiplied to us. It talks about his divine power or his divine purpose, granting to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. It talks about his precious and magnificent promises, how we can keep from stumbling, and how we can enter into his kingdom abundantly supplied with everything we need. So these eight qualities: faith, moral excellence, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. These qualities are things that we need to have. Now, it's true that a lot of these overlap, but they're all connected to one another. In other words, it's not something that we can kind of look at that list and say, I like this one and this one. I'm not really into this one right here, the self-control part. No, these are supposed to be all of ours because they're all connected to one another. We looked at a couple charts last week. This one, it talks about how to our faith we add moral excellence, and to our moral excellence we add knowledge. And so there's a sense that one of these is built upon the other. And so therefore all of them are important. Sometimes, and we talked about this last week, let's show the next slide here. We try to think, well, moral excellence I'm not too big on, or neither is self-control, but I like having a lot of knowledge, and faith is good. And what happens? If we do something like that, eventually it's going to fall, isn't it, our life? And that probably describes too many Christian lives. Another thing that's kind of interesting, it said, if these qualities are yours and are increasing, and let's show the next slide here. In other words, we may start off, let me see if I can do this here, over here, faith, but as our faith grows, then we can allow more moral excellence and more knowledge. So in other words, throughout our whole Christian life, that should be growing and growing and growing. Okay? So, and by the way, it's not like, let me see how to put this. Some people might think, well, I'll never be able to have any self-control and to get a lot of faith. No, because he works with all these things with us all the time, but they are built upon one another. So last week we talked about faith being that foundation and how God wants to teach us about trusting Him in everything that we do. And we talked about how He gives us opportunities all the time, probably every day, to trust Him in some fresh, some new way. Sometimes it may look impossible. And one of the things we did, we looked at the Old Testament, the story of where God's people went from Egypt to the Promised Land. It was, if you just go straight there, it should take you about 11 days. God's idea was to make it close to 2 years because He wanted to teach them. And because they didn't learn, how many years did it take them to get into the Promised Land? 40, yeah, exactly, that's right. But there in Numbers 14, it talks about, God says, 10 times now, you know, I've tested them, and basically every time they refuse to trust God. And we talked about some of the things, we went through those 10 tests, and we saw that, you know, that God was teaching them. And in the same way, He teaches us. And sometimes we may get to a place that seems impossible. Like, remember one of the ones we talked about last week was when the people of God had gone out of Egypt. They're before the Red Sea. And all of a sudden they hear Pharaoh and his chariots coming. And they thought, oh no, we're trapped. There's no way we can get out. But did God have an answer? Yes. He was going to part the Red Sea. And God always has an answer for us if we trust Him. Okay, so the next one here, it says in verse 5, it says, it talks about moral excellence. It says, applying all diligence in your faith supply moral excellence. Now, that's a very hard word. It's really just one word to translate. And there's a lot of different translations who've tried to capture different ways. Virtue is often used. In fact, virtud is the one in Spanish that's used a lot. Virtu in French is used. And you know, I have to admit, as I was kind of thinking, virtue, I think I know what that means. But do I exactly know what it means? So I looked it up, and I discovered that virtue includes a lot. It includes, these are just some of the main parts of virtue. It means integrity, morality, dignity, decency, purity, respectability, goodness. You know, when someone says, oh, he's a good man, or she's a good woman, what does that mean? That they're respectable, they're full of dignity, they have integrity, they're honest. And so virtue is a word, or moral excellence, as it's translated in many translations. It includes a whole lot. So much that really one word doesn't really say it. And I think it's kind of interesting. Most people don't even know what virtue is. Maybe because there's not a lot of virtue left in the world today. I don't know. But so what is virtue? What is moral excellence? Basically, it's doing the right thing. It's taking the high road. It's saying the right things, words that edify and bring grace to one another, not just what comes into our head. It means being trustworthy, that if you say you're going to do something, you're going to do something. It means having pure motives. It means being faithful to our word. We are men and women of our word. It means being a speaker of truth. It also includes the whole sexual realm, being sexually faithful and pure. Philippians 4:8 it uses the same word. It says, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, that's the Greek word that's used, talking about all those things, and if anything worthy of praise, let your, no, it says, dwell on these things. Those are the things that need to fill our minds. Those are the things we need to be speaking. That is moral excellence. The opposite would be lying, deceit and cheating, getting back in revenge, ugly talk about others, pride, wrong motives. And we live in a world where virtue is vanishing. It used to be that everyone in authority, that was a fundamental quality that they were supposed to have, whether you were in government office or a teacher or a coach or a parent, you were supposed to be virtuous. You had moral excellence. And today, you've got to look around to find that. And it's sad, it's disheartening, but brothers and sisters, it's probably going to get worse. It's probably going to get worse. And we, true believers in Jesus Christ, cannot follow the world. God's called us to be different. I think especially in what many of us think are going to be we're entering into the period called the last days. It's also alarming when Christians justify a lack of moral excellence, either in themselves or in others. And we'll probably hear that more and more, because one of the things that's happening in the world today is the church, those who really are trying to follow Jesus and to follow His ways, they're going one direction, and those who are more nominal are following the way of the Lord. And sometimes it's very difficult for us because we think, wait a minute, I heard a Christian leader even say this. What do I do? What do? You follow moral excellence. It's a quality we have to have. We live in a delicate age, and God is calling us to be different. Okay, a few things about moral excellence. It's built upon faith. We saw that already. It's the next one. Without faith, we'll not be able to stand up to those calling for us to maybe turn our back on virtue or moral excellence. To do the right thing often takes faith, because we're having to trust God's going to take care of us. And especially in today's world where lying and cheating and revenge and ugly talk, it's not just accepted, but it's even being encouraged now. You know, put yourself first. You know, get back. Don't let anyone get ahead of you. You know, if you got to lie or cheat, do it. That's the way the world tells us to do it. And when we decide to be different, they're going to look at us, and they're going to be threatened by it, because darkness is threatened by light. And we live this way, we represent light. And so we're going to make people feel uncomfortable. So therefore, it takes faith, trusting God, I'm going to do the right thing no matter what others think or what they say. So moral excellence is built upon faith. Also, we need to understand that we have to apply diligence in order to gain moral excellence. You know, there in verse 5, it says, apply in all diligence. And in verse 10, it says, be all the more diligent. In other words, we have to work at having this quality of virtue or moral excellence. As verse 10 says, we have to practice it. You know, if you don't practice something, you feel kind of awkward or clumsy about something. I was trying to think of an example. How about riding a bike? If you don't really, you know, most kids when they're, I don't know, 5, 6, 7, sometimes when they're 2 or 3, they kind of learn, you know, how to ride a bike. When they first try it, they look really weak, don't they? I mean, they're kind of just clumsy. They look awkward. They're uncomfortable with it. And you think they're going to crash any minute now. And sometimes they do. But the more they practice it, what happens? Yeah. I mean, you know, by the time they're 8 or 9, they're driving their bikes. They've got their legs put up there. They're drinking something. They're kind of texting at the same time. And, you know, they're kind of weaving in and out of traffic. They feel comfortable all of a sudden, don't they? And the same thing with us. If we practice moral excellence, it's going to become who we are. We just do it, like riding a bike. If we don't practice it, when we do it every now and then, it doesn't feel natural. So we gotta practice it. We have to apply diligence. A couple of verses about diligence. There's many, many. Proverbs 12, verse 24. The hand of the diligent will rule, but the slack hand will be put to forced labor. If you want to rule in life, you've got to apply diligence and the things that we need to do. You know, godliness, moral excellence. Also a little bit later in the chapter, Proverbs 12, 27. A lazy man does not roast his prey, but the precious possession of a man is diligence. See, a lot of times we may know, oh yeah, I'm really for faith. I'm for moral excellence. I'm for self-control. I'm for brotherly kindness. Well, it's good that you're for it. It's good that you believe in it. But are we diligent in practicing it? We have to do it. We have to be diligent in this. A third thing we say about moral excellence, we must surround ourselves with people of moral excellence. Psalm 101. David wrote this. In fact, it's so good. I want us to read the whole thing. Read it in Spanish or English up above, but I will sing of loving kindness and justice to you, O Lord. I will sing praises. I will give heed to the blameless way. When will you come to me? You know, he says, I'm going to go the blameless way. I'm going to do the way of moral excellence is another way you could say that. I will walk within my house in the integrity of my heart. I will set no worthless thing before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not fasten its grip on me. A perverse heart shall depart from me. I will know no evil. Whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy. No one who has a haughty look or an arrogant heart will I endure. My eyes will be upon the faithful or the trustworthy of the land, that they may dwell with me. He who walks in a blameless way is the one who will minister to me. He who practices deceit shall not dwell within my house. He who speaks falsehood shall not maintain his position before me. Every morning I will destroy all the wicked of the land so as to cut off from the city of the Lord all those who do iniquity. What is David saying here? I'm going to walk the way of integrity, the blameless way. In fact, the people around me, I'm going to make sure they do it that way too. Otherwise, they're going to be out of here. And this is when he was king, or maybe it may have been when he was kind of gathering a group of men around him, and women too, I'm sure. You know, 1 Corinthians 15, 32. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Who do we surround ourselves with? Do we surround ourselves with bad company? Or do we surround ourselves with people of moral excellence? You know, someone has said, we become like those that we surround ourselves with. You know, like the people around us. And it's true. We do. Now, you might say, yeah, but aren't we supposed to be a witness to other people? Sure we are. We are to maintain relationships with all sorts of people for the purpose of sharing with them the words of eternal life and the power of the gospel. We're to be salt and light of the world. But we surround ourselves with those of moral excellence, not with those who are dishonest or who pervert the truth, not with gossips and slanderers, not with those who talk ugly and mean toward others, not those who make fun of other people. We surround ourselves with those who are honest, people who do the right thing, with good people. We have to do it. You know, Psalm 1, verse 1. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. We want to be blessed from the Lord, don't we? That means there's certain people in that inner circle of who we trust and we build our lives with. You know, they've got to be people of moral excellence. Last thing I want to say about moral excellence is that moral excellence, or virtue or integrity, is necessary for all those other qualities. What's that next quality above moral excellence? What does it say? Knowledge. And by the way, knowledge in English is a little bit weak. In Greek, and in Spanish too, by the way, there's two words to know. You know, there's saber and there's conocer. Saber means to know about something. I'm simplifying this. Conocer means to know someone or to know something intimately. You might say, conosco a Frisco. You know, I know Frisco. You know, but you can saber about Frisco and live in New Jersey, but you've never been here. So in Greek's the same way. And this word knowledge means we know intimately the knowledge. We know Jesus. We know God. And we'll talk about that next week. But I think for now we need to know that moral excellence prepares the way for an intimate walk with the Lord. Many places it talks about this. Let's just look at Psalm 15. Oh Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill? In other words, who are the people that are going to be close to you, Lord, and know you? The answer, he who walks with integrity and works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart. He does not slander with his tongue. He does nor evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a reprobate is despised. He who honors, but who honors those who fear the Lord. He swears to his own heart, hurt, and does not change. He does not put his money out at interest. He does not take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things will never be shaken. Or as 2 Peter says, will never stumble. And here it says, that's the person that's going to abide in the tent of the Lord. That's the person that's going to be on God's holy hill. Psalm 24. Maybe starting in verse 3. Same type of thing. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? And who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean heart, hands, and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to falsehood and has not sworn deceitfully. He's talking about moral excellence there, isn't he? He shall receive a blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. You know what? We could go. You could look at Psalm 26. You can look at a lot of places talk about that as we live good lives full of virtue, it prepares the way for us to be in the presence of God. So we cannot skip moral excellence. Moral excellence is necessary for all these other qualities, including knowledge, which we'll talk about next week. Is this a quality, moral excellence, virtue, that somehow we've just sort of skipped over? Maybe we don't think it's that important? It includes so much. In fact, I could probably give lots of examples. But in business or money dealings, are you honest? Or do you take advantage of the other person? I mean, it could be something as simple as selling someone a car and just kind of forgetting to tell them that the engine's about ready to go up. Something like that, you know. Wait a minute. Moral excellence, it takes faith. Oh, wait a minute. Everyone's kind of laughing. Honest, I don't know anything about anything, okay? So if I give an example, what's that? Yeah, only God knows. That's right. I don't know. I'm just trying to give some examples, there's all sorts of things. The world says, do what you have to get ahead. God says, be a man of integrity. Be a man of virtue or woman of virtue. Trust me, I'll take care of your needs. When someone speaks evil of you, do you speak back insults? Maybe it's a little thing. Okay, it got real quiet that time. Okay. Okay. You know what? Moral excellence says, no, we don't do that. Someone speaks evil of us, we don't worry about it. God is our vindicator. Do we exaggerate our importance to other people? How about this one? When you say you'll do something, do a task, volunteer, do you follow through? Or if something else comes up, something came up, and maybe you've kind of even maybe exaggerated what came up. You know, we're talking about trustworthy. We've got to be men and women of our word. Do we say whatever comes into our mind? Or do we guard our words? You know, Psalm 141:3, I don't have it here. It says, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. That's a good prayer, prayer of David. By the way, David was a man of integrity. He was a man of virtue, a man of moral excellence. I could go on and give all sorts of examples because this area is really, really big. It includes so much. And maybe because moral excellence, what is that? Virtue. I have no idea what virtue is. I think it means kind of being a good person or something. It's easy to gloss over that. But God is saying that upon our faith, we need to build moral excellence. And brothers and sisters, especially in today's world, where virtue, moral excellence is just, it's disappearing. It's disappearing. We'll eventually be the only ones left who prize this quality. But you know what? God's going to use our standing of moral excellence to draw people to Himself. Because even though it's vanishing and people are disregarding it, there's something inside of every person. They want that. They want the world to be right, at least toward them. You know, maybe not them toward the others, but they want people to treat them right. And we are called to do that. And in some ways, it's, like I said before, it's discouraging, it's disheartening to see the world just losing track of this. But on the other hand, it's exciting because God's building that inside of us, and we will be different. But it's going to take some diligence on our part. We have to begin to practice it. Otherwise, we're not going to be good at it. Right? Let's pray. Lord, we ask that you would speak to us. Lord, we're talking about a big area that has all sorts of little aspects to it. Lord, we give you permission to shine your light into our life. Lord, will you expose any area where we're falling short in this area of virtue, moral excellence? And Lord, we pray, Lord, that as a church, not just here in Emmanuel Fellowship, but around the world, that the church would wake up and we would embrace, Lord, the qualities mentioned here in 2 Peter 1. In particular today, Lord, moral excellence. Lord, it's something that the world is losing. And Lord, I know they're going to be missing it. And Lord, you want to use it in us to draw people to yourself. So Lord, we want to apply diligence in this area. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.